This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Courtyard Club Call with me, Russ Johnson. I'm joined by Dan Colvewell, as always. All right, Dan?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good, good. Fresh from the trip to Grimsby away. Let's deep dive into this, into the match on Saturday. Obviously, a 3-1 away win, which was very much, I won't say needed, but very delightful that we did, and in the manner that we did it as well. Start with the lineups. So we had Hinchliffe in net, Bristow left back, Wright and Horsfall centre halves. Debut for Lewis Cass at right back, Lemon Hay Evans, Camps, Powell and Crowsdale, and then Sars and Alafi only playing one striker as it worked out. But you went to the match, I didn't, and I only watched it, so we'll see from your perspective what that lineup was. First off, though, any surprises with the lineup?
Yeah, I think obviously Paddy got dropped and Crowsdale came back into the team, and Sarcevic started as well. And I'm trying to think who else.
Cass.
Cass came in for Macca. Yeah. And there was another one in there. I can't think who it was now. Bailey that dropped out onto the bench. We knew that Cass would play. I thought Sarcevic, listening to the post-match, would get game time, but I didn't think that would be starting. I thought that'd be last 30 minutes. But obviously, you know, Challen has picked a team and a formation and a style to... He's done his homework. He's done it previously before, during the season, and these little tweaks. And for me, this was one of them games. It was a tactical masterclass. And that's why, you know, Sarcevic played. You know, you straight back four. You had basically, for me, Camps and Crowsdale as a sitting two. And then you had Tanto up front on his own, and behind him, basically roaming and putting the pressure on with Sarcevic, Connolly, Lemon Hay Evans, and Powell. And they were just dictating the show. They absolutely just ran everything, them three. Behind Tanto.
So was it a case of, flat back four? It's never flat, is it? As I've said previously on this show. Four at the back, like you say, Camps and Crowsdale almost playing that central defensive midfield role, sitting in. Then you've got Powell, Lemon, Hay Evans and Sars doing their bits, and Alafi up front. Was it as pronged as that, with Alafi just up front on his own?
Yeah, I mean, Camps and Crowsdale, they weren't sitting in that much. They were like the midfield two with three of them in front. So it was like an attacking four in a way. Tanto was obviously, they wanted to play out the back, and Tanto would rush the first line of defence with hoping that they would then turn and look to get the ball out a little bit further into midfield. And then that's when the three of Powell and Sars and Lemon Hay Evans just were like, you know, Jack Russell's, they were just absolutely biting at ankles, right on top of them straight away, wouldn't allow them then to play out from that sort of second pass from the goalkeeper. And, you know, they saw that obviously Challen has said that they set traps, and you know, that first half they just absolutely had them.
So let's look at the stats for the first half then, because I mean, we really did come out of the traps, didn't we? So first half stats, 56% possession, 1.32 on the XG compared to Grimsby's 0.03. It may as well be zero for all intents and purposes. We had 6 shots, 4 on target, 3 goals, 3 big chances, and those were the goals. So clinical without creating too much, I guess. And was that the feeling in the ground that we weren't creating too much, but everything seemed to go in?
Well, I thought that Grimsby started well for the first sort of 4, 5, 6 minutes. We were struggling to sort of get hold of the ball, get onto the ball, and string sort of 2, 3 passes together, in all fairness. But they didn't panic. They sort of worked their way into the game. And then once they started to get the ball and a little bit of possession, they started knocking it about. Everyone starts getting to a touch of the ball. And then they start then increasing the tempo, and the intensity started raising up. And, you know, and they started dominating. You know, after that sort of 6 minutes, really started dominating play. And we were playing, you know, a lot of the game then in their final third, putting pressures on and stuff like that. Even though, like you say, the stats say that we didn't have many shots, but like you say, it just felt that where we had the ball was always in the attacking third a lot of the time. And we were moving the ball very quickly into the attacking third. Maybe not, like you say, getting the shots off target or working them opportunities, but you just felt that, you know, the momentum was all with us after that sort of 5, 6 minutes.
Yeah, it feels like, as you said, and Charlie alluded to it, setting the traps, and maybe that's another phrase that's going to be banded around quite a lot from now on. Yeah. But setting the traps, making them either go long or lose possession, and then as we get ourselves more comfortable into the game in possession, you can kind of start to turn the screw, can't you? Like you were saying, and we got our rewards for that. So, yeah, I mean, let's talk about the first goal, which was Sarcevic. So yeah. this was a mistake from them, really, wasn't it? This was their keeper, Cartwright, I think, played it out to one of their centre-halves who either wasn't ready for it, wasn't expecting it, or...
Well, it was a bit of a weird one because they sort of passed it about between the back four, the two centre-halves and the goalkeeper. And then it looked like the goalkeepers then tried to miss the defence and gone straight into the midfield area where, like you say, Sarcevic is on the prowl, and all three of them were on the prowl, in all fairness, doing that game. And the player that was expecting to receive the ball didn't even get to him. Sarcevic has absolutely just run round him, told it away from him, and then he's just got a clean run to goal. From the away end, it looked like actually sort of like scuffed it, and it sort of like a bobble hit the goalkeeper, and we're sort of wondering how that's got into the back of the net. But yeah, it's just alertness and readiness, and like I say, Sarcevic just looked like he'd not been injured. He looked straight away back to the form pre-injury that was winning us games and dominating games. So yeah, he just absolutely back onto it.
Yeah, it's a testament, isn't it, to the squad that we've got on the depth, because we don't have to rush him back. And I think maybe last season towards the end, you know, playoff final things, we had players playing that were maybe not 100% fit. Same with Wootton this year, don't have to rush him back, and he came back and it was almost like he'd not been away. Same with Sars, there's probably one or two. Maka as well, I know he's, you know, unfortunate for Maka, but when he came back, it was like he'd never been away, because we don't have to rush them back. So that's really pleasing. It's going to be one of the elements that gets us promoted, I would suggest.
Yeah. And I think he knows that. I think the same again, going into the end of last season, we got to, like say, the Gillingham game, and we sort of really scraping the barrel as such and putting players out on the field that were injured or not fit. And like I say, the playoff final obviously was just one game too far, 10 minutes too much as such. And like I say, I think he's learned from that, Challenger. I think he's got the squad that will, in depth wise, and not the same again, and a squad that everyone's biting at the bit to get involved and be involved. And we've said it before, very early in the season, the substitutes will be a massive part of this season, and you know, there is no space for just people just getting 10 minutes or 5 minutes and doing nothing. Everybody has to do something when they're on the pitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know, let's say when that first goal goes in, we're thinking this could be Doncaster again, to be honest. Same again, you know, we score in the first, I think it was 9 minutes when we scored. So yep. We scored in the first 10 minutes of the game. And at that point, same again, we just, you know, dominating. We looked like we wanted the ball. We looked like we were, you know, wanting to attack them and attacking them thirds. The second goal come along. And you have to give all the credit to Sarcevic for winning the foul, but Powell for the foresight and just the football brain of, I don't know if he was actually looking for the pass or he was actually one of them ones where he's going to make the pass knowing that the defender will earn him, block it and earn himself a yellow card for blocking it. But just to take that ball, first touch, ping the perfect ball into the path of Lemonet Heavens. I was hoping he would score it himself because I think he's, same again, he deserves a goal every game with his performances lately. But same again, he's got the foresight just to knock it behind the defender into the path of Olafi, and he's just side-footed it into the net.
Yeah, a really lovely goal. As you say, the pass from Powell gets a lot of plaudits. I personally think he wasn't going for the defender blocking it to get a yellow. I think he was meant for that. From a Grimsby perspective, and having listened to a couple of their vlogs and a couple of their post-match with the fans, they're disappointed that nobody did stop it. Yeah. You know, and took the yellow card, or, you know, even if it might not have been a yellow card for them. So I think it's really, really good quick thinking. There were calls from their end as well for offside, which when you look at it on the replay on the telly, there's no way it's offside. It's an absolutely belting ball. And just on it as well, I know, waxing lyrical about the ball from Powell, Lemon Hay Evans did not have to break a stride.
No,
for that, it just went into him as he was running almost full pelt. So, I don't think we can underestimate the quality of that ball.
Really. I mean, to be honest, if I was going to be greedy or selfish, I'd want Lemonet Evans to hit that ball first time into the back of the net. Yeah, and it would have been, like you say, a goal of the week, goal of the season contender by far. Weren't a bad goal, yeah. But yeah, anybody else on the pitch, not Powell in that area, that wouldn't have been a goal.
Yeah.
You know, there was no, Sarcevic might have had the foresight, maybe Padden, but I think without Powell at that moment in time, because like I say, he's not even touched the ball, he just strolled up to the ball and just pinged it.
Yeah.
A dead ball. And like I say, that's the quality, the footballing brain, the quality he's got, that's where Powell is. He's definitely a league above us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then the momentum is absolutely with County then, up until, I mean, it's with us for the rest of the half almost. But then on 28 minutes, go on.
Yeah, so then the third goal. And it's same again. Are you going to feel sorry for Macca a certain way? Because it's another right back that's come in and scored a goal. Akil did it the other week, and now Cassie's done it. Yeah, when, so you're gonna feel, yeah, you know, I can't even remember when Macca scored last.
It was Torquay, was it? Was it Torquay at home? And behind closed doors, I think.
Yeah. And Akil got injured in them sort of like 41 minutes, and it just sort of took the wind out of the sail. I think he's pulled up or slipped and pulled a strain or something like that. Burns come on, but that sort of just sort of took the wind out of the team, and they sort of had to find their sort of feet again just before half time. But the third goal, it was Cass that's come on. We're talking about Macca. It's just a different option, obviously, because with Macca, we've got somebody that's really good at getting up and down the wing. We'll get the crosses in. And one of the big improvements I thought of Macca this season is actually his defensive play, sort of sensing danger and getting in them blocks and tackles. And I thought his game has really improved. Probably the best he's been playing in a County shirt during his time. But Cass is a different player. I don't think he's that, you know, electric pace that goes down the side. But what he does offer you, as we saw, is heightened attacking the ball and set pieces. So he's not going to be the one that's going to be taking the set piece. He's somebody that's actually going to be in that area, 6-yard penalty spot area, looking to get his head on it. And that same again, what he's done, we've had set pieces. The quality of the ball's probably not brilliant to go in there the first couple of times. It's worked its way out to Sarcevic. Same again, a little bit of quality on the ball. Floated the ball into a perfect space. I think they were a lot not happy because, like I say, I think there was only 3 County players in that area and there was 7 of them marking 3 players and he still managed to rise up unmarked. Not the most powerful header, but he's got a good contact to it and he's put it in an area that's, you know, the goalkeeper's stretching to dive. And if the goalkeeper does get something to it, you'd expect him, all he's going to do is push it into the into a County player or somebody running in, hopefully, and getting out. So, yeah, another goal from a corner, a cross, sorry, which obviously Challen has mentioned a few times that we were a team that score from crosses. And yeah, that was, you know, I thought it was a good header.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we do score a lot from crosses, but I think it's, you know, a testament to the team on a day where 3 completely different types of goals, really. One, which is a steal in the back pocket, or pickpocketing, should I say. The second one is a lovely piece of play from a set ball, but, you know, a deep one. And then you've got the corner, which, you know, they had chances to get it out, didn't they? A couple of chances, but it's persistence from us, especially Sars, to get the goal, and a good goal on a debut as well. What did you think of Cass overall and in terms of his overall performance? Do you think he'll fit in well with us?
Yeah, same again. I think he's a different option. He's a different fullback. He's not a bombing on fullback. I think that might put the end of us playing with wing-backs. So I don't think he's a wing-back. He's not the same as Niall. He's not the same as Maka. But same again, I thought he was steady. I thought their goal, there was a little bit of blame maybe toward for their goal that you could put on Cass, because I think he gets caught with the ball up near the halfway line. But saying that, I also think then, you know, is an opportunity to stop the cross coming in. And I also think Ben could have done better with the ball, and he sort of pushed it out for their player to just slide it in.
Yeah.
But, same again, different strengths, different weaknesses.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Different player. We said the same with Bristow when he came in, that, you know, he's got a different profile to what we had up there. And at the same end, you know, but, you know, his first game, and he's not played a lot of football lately. So, yeah, and he looked good, I think. And then he'll only look better the more he trains and plays with him.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, then, into the second half. I mean, we literally just mentioned it, the goal, which just commented on. The surprising thing for me was that, is it Issa who scored the goal? He looked pretty lively to me, and then they took him off after 83 minutes. But before that,
it come out so out of the blue, I think, their goal. We've had a chance just before it with Tanto, sort of managed to work his way into the 6-yard box, and he just had to put his head up and just dink it back into the centre of goal, and there was 2 or 3 players that would have rammed it in. He's gone for the shot and put it high and wide. And like I say, it's all momentum to us. And like I say, their goal just comes out of the blue.
Yeah, I mean, I think they worked hard for it. I think that they generally have to work hard for goals anyway at Grimsby. I think that's the general consensus with the fans, certainly from what I've seen and what I've heard. They actually had more possession in the second half, at 52%, and they had they were fair enough. They had a goal, 7 shots, 2 on target, 1 big chance compared to our 3 shots, none on target. So they beat us in those departments and the expected goals departments. But was it because we either went back into neutral, went back into first gear and just sort of managed the game from them, knowing that they wouldn't really pose a threat?
We definitely dropped a gear and we were allowing them to have the ball more in the midfield area. So the three that was behind Tantos seemed to sort of come back a little bit. Sarcevic ended up picking up a yellow card, which I didn't think it was a yellow card in fairness. I felt it was a bit of a 50-50. Once he's picked up that yellow card, he's same again, playing a little bit within himself. But they didn't, same again, game management and stuff like that. We didn't have to go chasing the game. We allowed them to have, let's say, a lot of the ball. Until about, I would think, about 75th minute, the last 15 minutes. And then it's, you know, we went with the substitutions that come on. They didn't seem prepared to sort of like sit back. They wanted to show what they could do for the team in an attacking way. So, same again, all the subs that came on had an impact. And I think the momentum swung back into our favour. And like I say, they got the one goal, but they just couldn't. You know, if they got a second goal, then obviously their tails are up in the game of it. But because we managed that 10, 15 minutes after they've scored, I think they sort of knew that, you know, the game was done.
Yeah. Yeah. And just looking at the sort of the in-depth stats, they would suggest everything you've just said to be true. So, we kind of beat them in all departments, especially going forward and defensively, to be honest. So open play and set play, the XG's, you know, hugely in our favour in terms of passing, controlling possession. Again, we beat them on every stat you can think of. I won't go through them because there's that many. And then defensively as well, anything they tried, interceptions, blocks, we were better in those departments as well. So it would suggest that, yeah, we took the foot off the gas, managed the game quite impressively, maybe one or two scares perhaps, but you're going to get that with a game of football, aren't you? So all in all, I mean, it just looks like, to me, the biggest plaudit should go to Chally and the team for knowing what was coming, being prepared for it, getting those early goals and just putting the game to bed with very little drama, almost.
Yeah, no injury. Well, apart from McIlroy's injury.
Yeah.
Which will be hopefully that's a 2 to 3 week one, not a 2 to 3 month one. But same again, on that front, you have Byrne on the bench. Obviously, next game you might expect, obviously, the lad from Man United to be on the bench, maybe. Obviously, Touré is an option if we need be. There's cover there. So hopefully we can, and obviously Ethan Pye should be, I don't know how, we're hoping he's 3-4 weeks maybe away. The subs that came on, Bailey came on, which I thought, the last few games, Bailey looked a little bit quiet, a little bit leggy, a little bit of running out of ideas. He looked full of beans when he come on, looking to get the ball, looking to turn on the ball, looking to attack. Thought Hippolyte looked really, really good. He's getting better and his involvement gets better with every time he's on the pitch at the moment. And like I say, it was, same again, a ground that we've, the last two seasons we've been there.
Yeah.
We've always ended up losing or players getting sent off when they don't deserve to get sent off. And he managed it really, really well, I thought. You couldn't fault it.
Yeah. And in terms of that squad management as well, if you look at the bench and who came on, they're all players that belong to us. So Byrne, Hippo, Bailey, Madden, Touré, obviously Rico Richards didn't get on. And then, like you say, we've got players beyond that as well that are itching to get on, either on the bench or to make the first team. And they know when they do come in and they do get that chance, they've got to take it and contribute rather than just be passengers. So it's looking good for us. Absolutely. Who was your man of the match, and does it agree with FOTMOB is the main question. Oh, the fans, because that was announced as well, wasn't it?
I think Sarcevic was just different gravy, to be honest. I can't fault Sarcevic. Powell was good, but you know, I just thought Sarcevic was just head and shoulders on any player on that pitch, really.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what FOTMOB goes with. That's what the fans voted for as well. Special mention for Crowsdale, though, 7.6, the comfort blanket, Mr. Consistence. Yep. Was he as good as that?
He just tidy, absolute tidy. Just Jack Russell as such, little. As soon as the ball comes into an area, he is there to snuff it out, to win the ball back, and simple pass. He knows what his limitations are. We all know he's not a Powell or a Sarcevic that's going to ping the ball 30 yards diagonally across the pitch or anything like that. He will just win the ball, snuff out. He puts his body in between the ball and their player, and he just passes it simple and let the play then build up. So like I say, I thought Fraser Horsfall had a good game. They seemed to put on a tall lad for the last sort of 15 minutes. And he had him in his back pocket again. Because the same again, they had they had Rowe up front. And we all know he's got a bit of a reputation of being a bit of a wind-up merchant, and one that will annoy and try and barge into you and trying to be a little bit like... the chap at Mansfield that ended up getting injured by smashing
into... with Keeler Dunn or Oates?
Oates, yeah. Mm. He's got a little bit of reputation of being like a Reece Oates type player. And then just same again, Horsfall just had him in his back pocket all game. Didn't look worried. Same again. There'll be annoyance with the goal they've conceded, because I don't think, in all fairness, that could have been, snubbed out quite three times, the way they've lost the ball at the halfway line, where the cross is coming in, and obviously Ben's involvement in the sort of parrying it into the path of him. But yeah, no, it's same again. A good day out. County fans were singing. There was like a mass exodus. Again, a little bit like Donny, 30 minutes, and we can see mass exodus of Grimsby fans leaving the stadium after 30 minutes. And same again, very much like Donny, they're the only saving grace is probably maybe there's two worse teams in the division than them and Donny this season. But obviously, if you keep on circling the drain, at some point you're going to drop down in it.
Yeah, you are going to drop, and I think Grimsby know more than most what it's like to be down there and to drop, because they've done it a couple of times, haven't they? Referee, any good? Anything to report on him?
I didn't think he was that good. I thought he was very inconsistent in his decisions. Stuff where he would, there was a lot of grappling and tulling, pulling and stuff like that, but he would let it go one side and not the other. I thought Sarcevic's yellow card was a little bit harsh. Couple of times, decisions which more coming from the linesman where the ball had gone out or gone out for a county corner, and he's given goal kicks and stuff like that. So he weren't the best, weren't the worst. He was probably a good 6 out of 10 on that. But same again, we had enough quality and enough chances to do what we needed to do to win the game and not sort of try. Same again, at the second half, they've obviously had a rocket and they've got a lot more physical and a lot more in our faces, and we didn't bite to it. Other times and other teams, we'd expect a little bit of, retaliation to it, but we didn't raise up to it, and we didn't get into that sort of like battle that we didn't want to get involved in. We'd won the game already. We just sat to see it out.
Good stuff. And obviously that sets us up nicely, doesn't it, for First v Third tomorrow night. So they're recording this Monday, so it'll be Tuesday night. And then they come thick and fast after that. Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, 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 Tuesday. So I think we'll know more. I mean, we'll know more within the next 7 games, obviously. But it's only a month between now and the 7th game, which will be Salford away. So, not saying
you're going to be met. I think the closer we get to the end of the season, the more nervy we all get. But you're going to remember we've only lost 2 games in the last 25 league games.
Mm.
Yeah, we've lost 2 in the last 25. All the other teams around us have lost in the same period, last 25 league games, have lost 5-6 games. Yeah, so we've lost 2 in the last 25. We're just going to keep that momentum going. We're not going to win every game, but like you say, if we just don't let the, you know, I'll be quite happy with a draw Tuesday night, to be honest. Opposed to them taking points off us, I think a draw will be a good result.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I'd be disappointed with a draw against Crewe, but to be honest with you, I don't think I'm being overly confident there. I'm very much in the school of win your home matches, draw your away, because Tranmere on Saturday will be a test away. Yeah.
I think it's a bit weird this season. I think the best football we've played, actually, apart from the Wrexham game, is actually been away from home.
Mm.
I think the pressure's off us a little bit away from them. The emphasis is on the home team to come out, and that suits us better. I just think away games at the moment, I think, are where we actually look the better team. Home, like you say, teams come put the blocks on and we struggle, and you know, the Cheadle end, you start hearing the groans and it's not going the right way and stuff like that. So I just, you know, like you say, it's a big game. I don't want to lose it, obviously. If we come away with a draw, it's not the end of the world by any means. And same again, there's a couple of games on, everyone plays on Tuesday night, and there's a couple of games in there that, you know, will, one way or another, will have an effect on what you know, teams around us in close vicinity. You know, that's the way I look at it. We've lost 2 games in the last 25 league games.
Yeah, and that's something to, definitely something to keep fresh in our minds. If anybody's ever listening to this and starting to get nervous, we'll try and bring you a balanced view here with lots of stats behind it. So yeah, good start. That I'd not realised that. Although now you say it, yeah, I suppose it stands to reason, doesn't it? We've played 30, and the other 3 defeats came in those first 5, did they? I'm guessing.
Yeah, 3 out there. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, cool. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Dan. As always, always nice to chat with you on a Monday. Thank you to everybody for listening to this. If you're not a patron, please do consider it. It's £3 a month plus VAT, and you get this Courtyard Club call in your inbox on Monday afternoon as opposed to Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon. So you get it early, plus you get the I've waited all week for that, straight after as an audio podcast. All of these, by the way, are without any adverts in them. So please do consider that. And there'll be more to come. Let's look forward to Crewe on Tuesday. We'll be back with the Courtyard Club call next Monday, reviewing probably a bit of the Crewe match, but mainly the Tranmere away match, and hopefully with another 6 points in our back pockets. Cheers, Dan. I'll speak to you later.
See you later.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.